Good morning, everyone. Is it good to be here again with the family of God, my brothers and sisters? I'm glad that God is good. I like to just refer to a verse of the song that really jumped out at me. That love divine, all loves excelling. Welcome to visitors, Arlene and Ken. Good to have you here. And all any other visitors who are here, thanks for coming. Trust that the Lord will bless you and all of us together as we seek His face. Verse that jumped out at me was verse 4. Finish then thy new creation. Aren't we all new creatures in Christ? Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. But isn't it also true that the Lord is still working on us? The Lord is still working on me. The Lord is not done with me, or probably you. I have not arrived. I'm pressing on, and I want Him to finish His work that He has begun in me. Pure, unspotted, let me be. Let us see our whole salvation perfectly secured by Thee. You know, the Lord wants to give us all that He has. And our salvation will only be fully realized the day we walk into the very presence of God. On that day when He calls us home, whether He's going to come back for His church and receive us all unto Himself, or by death He calls us home. Our full salvation will be realized then. And He wants us until then to change us from glory to glory. Till in heaven we take our place. And we're going to cast our crowns before Him. Lost in wonder, love, and praise. And folks, I want to be there for that time. When we can bow our knee there in the presence of Almighty God, the one who died and gave Himself for us and loved us so much that He redeemed us to Himself. And then we can cast our crowns before Him in true worship, totally lost in that wonder of love and praise throughout eternity. Folks, it's not going to get old. So that stuck out to me. I'm so glad that God is patient and kind with us. You know, He allows us to grow, and He allows us to keep continuing. Even in our failures, God doesn't cast us off, but He loves us and cares for us. I'm so glad that God is that way. Aren't you? Last Sunday, I preached a message from James. I'll be preaching through the book of James from time to time. And it was suggested, since I preached last Sunday, I would again preach again and continue from the book of James. Last week, we preached from chapter 1, I believe verses 1 to maybe 17 or 18, whatever it was. And we talked about various things, and I'd just like to briefly review, in case you weren't here, and those of you who were here, just to briefly review what we talked about. We talked about James. He was a brother of Jesus, a half-brother of Jesus. James called himself a servant, a bondservant. A bondservant is a slave who has been bought and been set free. And because he's loved his master so much that he, after he's been set free, he goes to his master and says, "Look, I want to serve you forever. Because I love you, because you're such a good master, I want to serve you forever, for the rest of my life. I voluntarily, of my own volition, of my own choosing, choose to live under you and be your slave until I die." And isn't that true? Those of us who are saved, we are slaves of the Lord Jesus, aren't we not? We choose to voluntarily, of our own will, our own choosing, be His slave because He is so good. And then he goes on, and we talked about, consider it pure joy when you fall into various temptations and trials. Joy. Facing a trial? That's joy? Well, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to think, about that as a joy, as an opportunity for us to grow and to be changed into His image and His likeness. These tests are for our faith, of our faith produces endurance. The testing of our faith produces endurance. That's the whole purpose. And those whom God loves, He chastens. And He trims us and He prunes us because He wants us to grow in His likeness and in His image. Trials have a way of maturing us. Trials have a way of teaching us lessons that we would otherwise would not have learned unless we go through these hard times in our lives. Like old Eddie Gaiman, our preacher years ago. Remember him? He broke his leg very badly and he had terrific pain in his leg. He was helping to build a church. He was walking on top of the block wall with the church, the basement wall. And his foot went down in the core of the block and he lost his balance and fell. And his foot stayed in the block and his body went like this. So anyway, he broke his leg and he talked about the pain. And he talked about that week following, they did surgery on an operation to fix his leg and whatever. And he said that was an awful thing to go through. That was a trial in his life. He said, I wouldn't give a nickel to go through that again, but I wouldn't trade the experience for $1 million. Yeah, he wouldn't sell it for $1 million. In other words, he wouldn't give a nickel for another one like that, but he wouldn't trade it. Because he already went through that trial, he wouldn't trade that thing now. Looking back, because it did something for him, it brought him to, I think God taught him a real lesson there, and he learned it well. We talked about faith last week, that faith is very important in asking God. When we're facing situations in our lives where we need answers, faith is very important. When we come to God, we must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We talked about the blessing that is pronounced on those who hang in there and don't give up, but keep on pressing in until the crown is won at the end. That person, blessing is pronounced on those who persevere under trial. That person will receive the crown of life, which is promised to them that love Him. Yeah, I want to be faithful in that. I want to pass the test God has for me. We talked about temptation, the fact that God cannot be tempted, and God tempts no one, and we are tempted. We are drawn away. We are tempted. What does it say? Mankind is tempted when they are drawn away of their own lusts. Our own evil desires draw us away and we're lured into something. We get trapped. We get tricked into something. And we either get deceived or whatever, or weak moment, and we give in to that temptation. Then he says, the closing verse that we talked about there was then, do not err, my beloved brethren. And that word error means, I think it means deceived. In another version, it says, don't be deceived. Don't allow the devil to trick you into something and lure you into something. We gave the analogy about the raccoon on my porch. We're trying to catch this raccoon in a live trap. And how that raccoon smelled that cat food, which he was so used to eating and loved. It was his favorite dish. And his fear of the trap and this strange apparatus, he was overcome with the desire to eat the food. That desire, that fear of the trap became overshadowed. I mean, his hunger for that food overshadowed his fear of the trap. And he went in there and got caught, and he was caught. And that's how it is with us. Let's fear God. And then I said, I wish I knew that the words of a song that would really go well with that message. And a brother, a visitor last Sunday, sitting back there, he texted it to me while I was preaching it. I didn't realize it, but may I read that? See if I can find it here. Sorry, it's on my phone. Harry Argo said we're not to use our cell phones in church, but here it is. This, I think, really puts the cap on what I talked about last week. It's written by Ron Hamilton. I don't know who he is, but I think he's right on. Listen, God never moves without purpose or plan. You know, everything that God does, He has a purpose and a plan in our lives. Okay, God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying His servant and molding a man, God wants to do that in our lives. He wants to mold us and shape us in His likeness and His image. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. Yeah, we're just hanging in there, just things seems to drag on. In darkness He giveth a song. I've experienced that. Even in the midst of my trial, the Lord wants to give us a song and help us through those experiences. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens His children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in His care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. That's the ultimate goal. God wants us to bear more fruit, so He purges us. He brings trials into our lives so that our roots go deep, down deep into our faith goes deep into God, to Jesus Christ, our relationship with Him. Then the refrain goes, "Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I will come forth as gold." And that's what God wants to do in our lives. The trials, the tests, the temptations He allows to come in our lives, God wants to do a deeper work in my heart. And He wants us to come forth as gold. You know, when gold is put on the fire, and I'm not a blacksmith or whatever. You know, these men that make the gold, I understand they really heat that thing. They heat that block of gold when they get it out of the ground, heat it, and all the impurities come to the top. And then when that gold is in a liquid form, I think I know what I'm talking about. That gold becomes a liquid form. They scoop off all the impurities off the top, and all that remains is the pure gold. And that's exactly, God wants to burn off the dross in our lives, basically. He wants us to get rid of the chaff, the hay, wood, and stubble, that only the gold remains. And that's His heart for you and I. Now, you can turn to your Bibles, to James chapter 1. Everybody turn to your Bibles, James 1. And let's all stand and let's read the verses together. Everybody stand so we don't get too sleepy. Those of you who can. Let's see. Let's start in verse 17 to the end of the chapter and let's read it together. Ready? "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, This man shall be blessed in his deed. If any among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's just remain standing and let's pray and ask the Lord that these scriptures could become alive to us today. Not just information, but that the truths of the Word of God would sink into mine and your hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for the living Word of God. We thank you that it is alive, it is powerful, it is Holy Ghost breathed. It is your heart and your will. And Lord, we just read the scriptures here and what your will is for our lives in these various areas, these practical areas. And God, I just pray that you would help the Word of God this morning to come alive in our hearts, Lord. And we don't want just head knowledge, God, but we want it down in deep into our hearts, Lord, that we would apply the things to our very lives, our very situations where we live every day in our lives, in our relationships, in our attitudes, in our thoughts, and our attitudes toward about ourselves, the attitudes toward others, the attitude toward God. Lord, we want to be changed. We want you to come this morning, and we want you to change us where we need changing. Lord, would you encourage us where we need encouragement, Lord? Would you prod us? Build a fire under us, Lord. May the Word of God penetrate deeply. May we tremble at your Word. May we fear you this morning, Lord. Each one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, come and speak, Lord, with your Spirit. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Without you, God, all is vain. But we ask your Spirit of the living God to come and fall on us this morning. In a real way, come and speak to our hearts, speak to our needs, Father. We are a needy people. Lord, you're not finished with us. Thank you for being so kind and patient with me, Lord. And Lord, we want to grow. We want to become more like you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's sing that song, Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow. Thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. Open the wells of salvation. Pour the rich streams deep into my heart. Cleanse and refine my affection. Seal me and make me pure as thou art. Dead to the world would I be, O Father, dead unto sin, alive unto thee. Crucify all the earthly within me, emptied of sin and self may I be. Open the well of grace and salvation. Pour the rich stream deep into my heart. Cleanse and refine my thought and affection. Seal me and make me pure as thou art.
I would be thine.
I would be thine and serve thee forever, filled with thy Spirit, lost in thy love. Come to my heart, Lord, come with anointing, showers of grace sent down from above. Open the wells of grace and salvation. Pour the rich
stream
to my heart.
cleanse and re-cleanse and refine my thought and affection. Seal me and make me pure as thou art.
Amen. God heard your cry. Trust that's your heart's cry this morning. Come with anointing. Unless we have the anointing of God on our lives, it's like this. In Haiti, they go, not going to work. We need the power, the divine influence, and Spirit of the living God to come and indwell us. We need, in order for that to happen, folks, we need to fall on our faces before the living God. Cry out to Him. We cannot live the Christian life ourselves. We need that anointing that we were singing about. We need that divine anointing, folks. So you're going to fall flat on your face. I can guarantee it, because you're no match for Satan. He's stronger than you are. He's smarter than you are. He's more powerful. The only way we are going to be overcomers in this life is if we fall at the feet, at the foot of the cross, daily. Come there in contrition and brokenness, humbling ourselves, crying out to God for mercy every day and power and grace to live the Christian life. That wasn't in my notes. But it's true. Amen. I don't know, I really sense that this morning, my own heart. I need the grace of God. I need the power of God. I cannot afford to mess with wickedness. I cannot afford it. Neither can you. God is good. As many times as I failed Him, He's good. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow turning. You know, a gift is something that we give to a person that we appreciate about. But you know, the person that receives the gift, somebody receives the gift, that is something that I didn't earn. I didn't work for it. I don't necessarily deserve it. But it's just out of appreciation that that person, out of the goodwill of that person's heart, they give me this wonderful gift. And that's true about God, isn't it? God is a benevolent God. God is a God of love and mercy. He's a God of, He wants us to, He wants to bless us. God is not against us. God is for you. So He gives these gifts. And the greatest gift, you know what that is, the gift of His Son, Jesus. God is a God of goodwill. In fact, when Jesus is born, the angels announce peace on earth, goodwill to men. God is bringing goodwill to you and I. God is a benevolent God. God is good. He's imparting a gift. And part of that gift is His mercy. Part of that gift is His patience and His long-suffering to you and I. He is not willing that any should perish. But He's long-suffering to us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's a gift, folks. We do not deserve that. We don't deserve that. I didn't deserve it. We couldn't. Nothing that we could do to deserve that gift. But God is a gift. And that comes from the Father of lights. I'm not sure what that means. One version says He's the Father of the sun, moon, and the stars. He's the Creator, and He's the Sustainer of the sun, moon, and stars. Whether that means that or not, I kind of think it is. But the fact that God created that, and yet He thinks about you and I, and He cares about you personally this morning. He knows your heart. He knows where you're at. He knows your struggles. He knows your temptations. He knows your sin. He knows your trials. He knows your affection, where you're at. And that's the God that created the sun, moon, and the stars. It says also that there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. I'm glad this morning that the character of God never, ever changes. God is the same from eternity past, that He will be the same now and in eternity future. God's character never changes. God is always a God of love. He is always a God of mercy. He is always a God... I have it written down here somewhere. He's a just God. He's always a God of justice. He'll never make a bad decision. He'll never make a wrong judgment. God's word is always true. God is true. God is truth, and outside of God, there is no truth. God is the author of all truth, and it's found in His word. And we're reading it here this morning. So God doesn't change. Praise God. He'll never turn His back on you and stab you if you're faithful to Him. Yes, God will bring judgment on the sinner. But God will never make a false accusation about you. And He'll never turn against you when your heart is right toward Him. Yes, God someday, He's a just God, and He will bring judgment on sinners. He will do that. At the end, when you finally come to the end of your life and you stand before Almighty God, we are going to have to give an account to God for the deeds that are done in the body that we did, our attitudes, our thoughts, our actions. God is just. But praise God, His mercy is here, and He's offering forgiveness. He's offering pardon. He's offering His love. He's offering cleansing and forgiveness. And He wants to wash our sins away and make us His child. Does that excite you this morning? Then verse 18, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. I'll stop right there. I'm not sure. I'm not a theologian. But He begat of His own will. He begat us. We were born into His family. From the beginning of creation, God in His foreknowledge knew you and I. In His foreknowledge, He knew that you would come to Christ and you would come to repentance. You would come to salvation. I think that's what it's saying here. He begat us with the word of truth. And as the word of truth came to us, as God's word and the truth of God's word comes into our hearts through the word of God. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 160, Thy word is truth. Folks, we have the heart of God right here this morning. It's truth. This is always true. It will never change. God's word, we can stand on it. We can believe it, and we can trust it, and we can trust our lives. We can trust our souls in this book if we line ourselves up with it for eternity. Yeah. If we do what it says, we can be confident that, you know what? The person that confesses his sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. We can stand on that's true. I'm so glad. God's word is true. Psalms 119, 130. The entrance of Thy word brings light. And I like that word. That word entrance, I looked it up, and it means the unfolding. The unfolding of God's word. The unfolding of the truth of God's word. As it comes to me and you, bit by bit, piece by piece, line upon line, precept upon precept. Just a little bit. As we grew up, you know, we heard this. As the word of God unfolds, it brings light. The entrance of Thy word, the unfolding of Thy word brings light to the heart and lives of the people of the people who diligently seek after it. It unfolds before us. That's beautiful. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what?" So the truth, as it comes and it unfolds and it enlightens our minds, and it begins to change us, it makes us free. You want to be free? Get in the Word of God. Believe it. Obey it. The truth will make you free. And if the Son will make you free, ye shall be free indeed. No man, no demon, Satan himself cannot say, "This man is not saved. This man's sins are not forgiven." Because it's Jesus, that it's God that justifies. Yea. What does it say? I wish I would have. But, yeah, you know the verse. It's God that justifies. No man, no power can say that we're not a child of God. It's God that justifies. It's God that redeems us. Ye shall be free indeed. This is all contingent, folks. Us being free, us being enlightened, us being saved, is all contingent on us, our lives, lining up with the Word of God. We, you and I, this morning, need to align our lives up with the Word of God. No question. We cannot manipulate it. We cannot try and change it. Yeah, we can change it. We can manipulate it, but that doesn't change the truth. The truth stands. God's Word stands. Mark it down. God's Word is truth, and it will happen. And I'm not sure, I gave this illustration. I'm not sure if I gave it before. I'm getting old, so I forget where I... The story of this ship. There's this big ship on the ocean, and this is back before... But during the time when the lighthouses were very important. Well, I shouldn't even say I'm giving it away now. My story, I took the... Anyway, so this ship, this big ship, he was going along. And this guy, the captain of this ship, was kind of a bully. And big ships were, they were the king of the sea. And so any other ship that was around had to get out of this big ship's way. This big ship was in no way going to change course to go around the little ship. Well, it was a dark, foggy night. And this big ship was going on. The captain, he was there, and proud man, I guess. And the captain sees, this bully captain, I'll call him, sees the light up ahead, and he radios, apparently they had a radio back then or whatever, communicates with that other ship, says, "Get out of the way, I'm coming. Change course." Gets a response from that. And he says, "No, you change course." "Nope," the bully captain said, "you change course. I am the big ship." The response comes back to the bully captain. "You change course. I am the lighthouse." Oh, suddenly he changed course, you know. Isn't that true? We need to change course, folks. We need to align ourselves with the Word of God. We cannot try and manipulate the Word of God. And, we have to change course. We have to change our thinking. We have to allow the Word of God to break us and mold us and make us. And then he talks about, verse 18 there, becoming the first fruits of his creation. And I'm not exactly sure what this is talking about, but I believe, you know, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were to bring the best that they had. When they brought an offering, they brought the best lamb. They brought the one that was spotless. When they brought their vegetables, their fruit, with the peace offering or something, they brought the best and the first fruits. And you all know your gardeners, and you have sweet corn in your garden, and it's the first picking that is always the nicest. It's the first ears, right, Lawrence? They're usually bigger, and they're not wormy. They're the first fruits. And you know, when we allow God to work in our lives and allow God to change us, then we're like the first fruits to God. I think that's what it's saying. We become the first fruits. We give what is best. We give of our best to God. I think that's what it's saying. Maybe you have an idea there to add to that sometime. Okay, let's go to verse 19. Wherefore, because we are chosen of God, I'm referring to the previous verses, we are chosen by God to be His children from the foundation of the world. Because our lives, we allow the Word of God to change us from the inside out. We allowed the Word of God to set us free from our evil nature. And thereby, we received the divine new nature from God. The very nature of God Himself. You see, because of that, the gospel will change your behavior. And this is what it does. Now it's getting practical, folks. It's getting right down to where we live. Because of all this, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now that's practical. Swift to hear. I'm sure you know people who are always talking. One of my best friends, I love the man, even unto this day. Old friend from back when I was young. I'm still young, but younger. He liked to talk, and it was just, I think it's just his personality. You know, people are different. That's fine. But let every man be swift to hear. You know, God gave us two ears and one mouth. So that's a good lesson for me. And the Lord was dealing with me in these verses here as I was preaching. Lord, I talk too much. Lord, I don't think before I speak sometimes. I say something and at night, or Mrs. Fox will say something to me, Earl. She kindly, very respectfully says, maybe you ought to rethink that one. Amen. Right away. I should have thought. And doesn't the Proverbs is full of that? We ought to think and then talk. Not talk and then think. Let every man be swift to hear, folks. I think we can all learn from that. I can. Let's be good listeners. Let's hear the heart of our brothers. Let's hear the heart, husbands, hear the heart of your wife. Husbands, hear the heart of your children. Read between the lines. Ask questions when necessary. Slow to speak, yeah. Let's weigh our words. Let's be careful. I'm jumping down to verse 26. And it ties right in here with this speaking thing, you know. If any man among you seems to be religious, he talks the talk, you know, and bridleth not his tongue, it doesn't control his tongue, and things come out of a person's mouth that should not, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Vain. Useless. That's what he's saying. So to me, that's pretty important. That's a strong statement to say that. If we do not bridle our tongue, if you and I are not careful what we say, and we are talking the talk, and we say things that are hurtful, we say things that or maybe are not true or partially true. We say we slander. If we gossip, I'm saying, I'm not accusing anyone here, but saying this can happen. This is what comes out of our mouth sometimes. Slander. Gossip. Let's be careful. Because from out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaks. So what's inside will come out. And that's revealing. That cut me to the heart. And God is dealing with me in this area. Slow to speak, girl. Think it through. Is this godly? Is it right? Is it true? Is it necessary? My mother used to tell us that. Three things you should ask yourself. Is it true? Well, it's true. But is it necessary? Not necessarily. Is it true? Is it necessary? And what was it? Is it godly? Huh? Kind. Is it kind? Yeah. Is it kind? Yeah. And I know sometimes we need to admonish someone, but let's do it. Let's be very careful. Let's be sure that our speech is under the control of the Lord Jesus and of His Spirit. Amen? Amen. You know, if we do that, if we can learn that, folks, that's a big one. That is not a little thing. If we can learn to control our speech, that every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. You know, maybe it's not what we say, but maybe it's the tone of voice. You know, come on! You know, and that, you know, that spirit, that's kind of a demanding spirit, you know. Or what is coming out of our attitude? What is the unspoken thing, our body language, our tone of voice? Let's just be on our guard, folks. And we need the Spirit of God in this area, folks. I do. And then say slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. Wrath means violent, deep-seated anger, resentful. The Bible has a lot to say about wrath, anger, malice, those things, a lot to say about it. And it's really a plague to humanity today. Not only in the world, but even in the church. It affects us, folks. We need to take a look at our anger problem. No, that sounded, I'm not saying you're an angry person. I'm saying if you are, if God is telling you that you're an angry person, folks, let's deal with it. And that's medicine for me too. Anger is not good enough. That does not work the righteousness of God. It works against it, folks. It is of the flesh. It is of the devil. And the Bible condemns it. Anger is not for the child of God. God came to Cain when God rejected Cain's offering and accepted Abel's. It really made Cain mad. You see, mad, angry. God said, "Why are you wroth?" That word wroth means burning with anger or to glow with anger. You ever see a person glow with anger, all red in the face and glowing, just burning with anger? A person that is angry, folks, when I get angry, a person gets angry, that person will say things and do things that are out of control that they normally would not do when they're not angry, folks. An angry man is not controlled by the Spirit of God. An angry person does things that he normally wouldn't do when he's not angry. And it's of the flesh. And it's of Satan, folks. And we need to repent of that if that's your life. Anger does not fit into the kingdom of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and rage, evil speaking, slander be put away. In Galatians 5, he talks about the works of the flesh. He names all of them, adultery and uncleanness and idolatry and anger and variance means dissensions and arguments, emulations. That means rivalry and competition. He talks about anger. And those who do these things, he says, if these things are a part of your life and mine, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's God's word, folks. That's serious. What should we do? We say things that are hurtful. We get angry sometimes. What should I do? What should we do? Let's repent. Let's bring it to the cross. There's forgiveness and there's cleansing. Let's go to that person and say, I'm sorry. Let's humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And when we do that, the power of God will come into our lives when we humble ourselves. We cry out to God for mercy. We cry out to God for His power, for His forgiveness, for His cleansing. That's what we need to do. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. See, what does that mean? Get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. That's what it's saying. Get rid of that filth. Get rid of things in your life that don't please God. And only you know what that is. I cannot. Lawrence, Steve, Jason. Nobody. You know. You know what's in your life. And here again, I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. But if you had these things in your life, there is a way out. There is cleansing. It says, and received with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Folks, that's the answer. That's the answer to our anger problems. That's the answer to my saying things that I shouldn't say, my slander, my gossip. That's the thing. That's the answer. Receive with meekness. Folks, this is the word of God. And the engrafted word means it's transplanted. The Word of God comes from the pages and it is made alive by the Spirit and it comes into my life, into my brain, into my thoughts. And I start thinking about my life. I'm not there, folks. I am falling short of the Word of God. So I need to allow the Word of God to become engrafted, to find root in my heart. That's what it's saying, the engrafted Word. I need to, folks, we need to allow the Word of God to take root in our heart and lives, or it does us no good. I don't care what our theology is. If we're not doing it, if we're not allowing God to do that, yeah, we're missing the mark. But if we do it, and we receive the Word of God with meekness and humility, and we bow our hearts to it, folks, it's going to change your life. And it will save your soul. Folks, this is not a works religion. But God does His part. But we need to do our part. You and I need to do our part in our salvation. We do have a part in it. And part of that is receiving. Part of that is fleeing those things and putting off anger and bitterness. Put off all anger. Put on the Lord Jesus. Put on kindness. Put on love and mercy and compassion. That's what we're to put on. We don't just put it off. Leave that void there. But we put on the Lord Jesus. We ask Him to come into our lives. And to change us. And to fill us. Fill us with good things. We allow the Word of God to change our hearts. Verse 22. Do not merely be a listener of the Word of God and so deceive yourselves. There's a lot of people today, and I know this one particular man used to go to our church. He was never a member. may I say this kindly, but I don't think that man knew the Lord Jesus. He had it all up here, and boy, did he know his Bible. He knew the Word of God. And in Sunday school, he could always give the right answers, but his life wasn't lining up, folks. You know people like that? That's sad. He had it up here, but he didn't have it here in his heart. He had it in his head, not in his heart. Folks, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. I really think that man was deceived. I think he was banking on, because of his knowing the Bible, he knew a lot about it, his theology was right, but his life didn't line up with it. He was a hearer, but he wasn't a doer. He had it in his head, but not in his heart. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face in a mirror. Oh, I thought about bringing a mirror here, and I thought about putting mud or something on my face and bristling my hair. You know what bristle means? That's a... I think the fox is going that word. It means you're bristled, your hair is all messed up. Your hair is bristled. So, I don't think you can find that in the dictionary. But if I look into the mirror and I see that my hair is all bristled, and I do not get my comb out or if there's dirt in my face, something on my, you know, whatever, and I don't do anything about it, people do that, you know. They look into God's Word and see their error, but don't do anything about it. Say, that's ridiculous. You know, if I go into the mirror and I see my hair be bristled and there's dirt, mud on my face and grease or whatever, and I don't do anything about it, that, come on. We wouldn't do that. But that's what people do in their spiritual lives many times. Let's not be that way, folks. We got dirt in our face, let's clean it up. That's our part. The Word of God is the mirror. It's doing its job. It's doing its part. That mirror does not lie, folks. What is there is there. Amen? There it is. Let's deal with it. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. He hears it. He sees it. But he goes and doesn't do anything about it. And he forgets it. Tell you what, that man's in trouble. A man like that, if he continues down that path, he's not going to make it. Really? Yeah. That man will not make it. That man is not aligning himself up with the Word of God. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. I like that term, law of liberty. Law and liberty, is that a paradox? Law, we think of law, we think of, you know, that's a restriction. But this is not a restriction, folks. This is freedom. Look into this perfect law of liberty. This is liberty, folks. This is true liberty, to be set free from yourself. You're no longer in chains to yourself and to your flesh, to that hard taskmaster, Satan. It's the law of liberty, folks. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, folks, continuing, we're talking about perseverance. He, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Yeah. Folks, let's be doers of the word. In Revelation it says, Jesus said, blessed are they that do his commandments. That do his commandments. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates. into the city. Folks, it's only those that do His commandments that are going to be allowed in. There's many going to say, Lord, didn't we do this and that? But they weren't doing His commandments. They were not being obedient to God's word. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I say? Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Let's be doers of the word. And I'm closing with verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. This is important. We all want to be pure. We want our religion, and I should have looked up that word religion. But if your faith, if your set of beliefs, they need to include this, is what he's saying. Your set of beliefs need to include this, because this is important. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And so this can be very practical here too, folks. Let's not forget about our widows in our church. We have, what, 3 or 4 of them? Let's be mindful of them. I think we were just admonished recently about that. But here it is again. Let's care for our widows. Let's visit them. Folks, they have trials. They have needs that you married women don't have. And men, we can minister to them with our wives. We can go and minister to our widows. Let's care for them. Because that's the real religion, folks. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. And that takes discernment, folks. Folks, we need to be aware. We need to know the truth. We need to know God's word. We need to know the genuine. We need to know what we believe in the word of God. We need to get in the word of God. We need to get in prayer. And we need to be admonishing one another daily, encouraging each other, and helping each other to discern what the world is. Because that takes some discernment. Some of the things are very clear. We know what the world is. Very clear. But you know, Satan comes about as an angel of light. He comes and he wants to deceive you. He wants to deceive us here at Joy Christian Fellowship. He wants to deceive your wife, the husband, the children, the families, our church. We need Holy Ghost discernment, folks, in this day and age we live, to know what the world is. Like I said, Satan is a whole lot smarter than you and I are. And he's gonna try and get us spotted. He's going to try and mar our garments. So let's be careful, folks. Let's help each other in these areas. Well, that's all I had this morning. God bless you. And I think we're going to let's pause for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you are a benevolent God. Thank you that you only have good for us. Thank you, Lord, for being kind and patient, for just leading us on one step at a time, allowing us to mature, Lord. Thank you for not casting us off when we fail you. God, you're so good. So help us, Lord, in these areas that we talked about. May we be those people that are doers of the word of God, not hearers only. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit, and that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Help us not only to talk the talk, but God, help us to walk the walk. And God, that is only possible. It's only possible if you would just indwell us and empower us. And that comes only as we submit, as we yield, as we align ourselves to you and your word. So Lord, show us. Show us areas in our lives, God, that don't please you. Lord, we open ourselves up here this morning. Lord, every person here, Lord, has a need. And Lord, I pray that you would minister to each need here this morning. If there's things in our lives, God, that don't please you, Lord, would you just speak to that person, to all of us, Lord? Give us the courage. Give us that tenacious hatred for sin. Help us to flee those things, Lord. And to humbly receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. Thank you for each person here this morning, Lord. And as we leave here, Lord, may we be more fully aware of our responsibility before you. Help us to be faithful unto the end. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Earl. I really appreciate James. I think James is probably the one who formed my view of God more than any book of the Bible. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. As you were preaching, the verse came to me in 1 John 3:9. It says in John, he wrote this as an older man now. He says, "Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." And I think what he's saying there is the Word of God is a seed. And whatever that seed produces in your life cannot sin. In the same way, if you put a cucumber seed into the ground, can that seed produce anything but cucumbers? Can it produce briars? Can it produce thistles? Of course not. And as we receive the Word of God into our lives, that seed remained in us. And that seed that we receive cannot produce anything but what God desires. And the power of the Word of God has never been in question. What's in question today is the condition of our heart. What dirt are you made of? Are you made of shallow and rocky ground? Are you made of hard, downtrodden ground? Is your dirt full of cares and distractions and of such that this pure seed falls in and even comes up a little bit, but is choked out? That's what the question is, not the power of the Word of God. What dirt are you made of? What's your dirt made of? And that'll if you can answer that, you can also answer how much fruit you'll produce and how much this seed will be allowed to prosper. This powerful seed that cannot sin. This pure seed, this pure. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So those were some of my thoughts. Guess we have time today, right, Earl? I guess we'll open it up if anybody wants to add, share, whatever, to the message. Okay, we need a mic, Roy.
Yes, well, we had the privilege of going to South Dakota this past week. My wife and I flew out there and visited her family. And also then we spent one night at Elmendorf. And this was on Friday night, and we were there just for the night, like I said, but we got to visit Joel and Louise, who is Gary and Conrad's sister, who is dying of brain tumors. And but Joel shared something that just stuck with us. And he said his wife is hardly able to, use her brain is just shutting down with all the swelling. But he said the things that are coming out of her mouth, he said they're just blessing and sweet, kind words. Nothing on the contrary. And he said, he said, what about you and I? You know, when we come to that place in our life, what's going to come out of our mouth? You know, when we don't really have control, of our body or so forth. What's going to come out of our mouth? Would it be sweet, kindness, blessing, and that just stayed with me. And, it says here in James, the trying of your faith works patience. And she's going through this trial. And someday we're going to go through something similar possibly. And what kind of fruit, because what's in the heart is going to come out. And we just had a chance to encourage Joel and pray with him there. And it was just a blessing to see him and his family. He is definitely experiencing the grace of God in a real way. So just wanted to share that as a way of encouraging us that we might put to practice what we hear, and that God could continue to conform us to be more shaped more into the beautiful image of Christ. My wife has
something. Yeah, I had another brother from a different colony call me, and he was there visiting her. And sometimes her mind is clear. She can talk, and you know she's connecting. Other times, you can tell she's not, I don't know what the word is, she's not coherent. She's not able to, you can see it doesn't make sense what she's saying. But he said even when she was certain times not in her right mind, he said everything she said was just full of, sweetness and just like she was when she is in her right mind. And so, yeah, that was a blessing.
I had to think of that last verse, pure religion is to keep yourself, to visit the widows and fatherless in their affliction, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And I was thinking about these, for hundreds of years, you had these little pockets of communities and your little church in your little area, and, you were influenced mainly by the people around you. And now in this last maybe 20, 30 years, it has totally changed where the influence of the world is everywhere, even in our homes. And how do we keep ourselves unspotted from the world? And we've had a lot of teaching on that, but I see that as a big thing. You know, Jesus prayed not that God would take us out of this world, but that he would keep us and that we'd be a light. And now here in this verse, we have, we're to be unspotted from the world. And it was just a challenge to me to think about this. How do I remain unspotted from the world and keep my family unspotted from the world, with all the media and everything around us that's bombarding us with things that are not normal for many, many centuries, have not been normal in a Christian household. So may God help us.
Well, I really appreciated the message. I really felt the anointing of God here today in the message. And I, in verse 25, I want to be the man that, or one of us that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. And that's my desire. I'm not always there, but it's my desire to look into that perfect law of liberty and continue therein until God calls me home.